Reading to you from the 1 John, the 5th chapter and the 13th verse. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Well, 1 year later, God really, really changed my life. There's a lot of people today who are Christians, born again, who have no idea what God wants for their life. Well, I'm here to tell you He has something for every born-again person's life. He wants you to serve Him. He wants you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He wants us to witness for Him. He wants us to obey Him. Well, friends, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax? Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with me, turn with me to the 1st chapter of Acts in the 11th verse. And they also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched Him go into heaven. Dear Lord, I'm so thankful that you've given me this opportunity to tell the story about what Jesus did on this earth. Precious Lord, if it hadn't been for you, I wouldn't be alive today. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be on the road to heaven when my time is up. So I thank you, Lord, for this. I thank you for the people that I have the privilege of sharing this message with, that you would bless them today. Father, if there's anyone listening tonight who are lost and undone without Christ, that this might be the greatest day of their life. They might make the best decision when they open their heart to Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have labeled this, Why Stand Ye Gazing? Well, this is the story of the ascension in heaven. You know, a lot of people said, oh, I don't believe that story that Jesus ascended up into heaven. Well, you'd better believe it, because He did. See, this Bible is God's infallible word. It's a truth. You can stake your life, you can stake your soul on the teaching of this book. A lot of people don't want to believe it because they want to live in sin. Now, I lived in sin for 30 years, and I tell you right now, it was a terrible experience. Everybody lives in sin, because the Bible said in Romans 3:23, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every blessed one of us. I was talking to my cousin one day, and she said, Cecil, I'm not a bad person. I said, I'm not talking about being bad. I'm talking about being lost. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned, they got kicked forth out of the garden, and you and I have the Adamic nature. The nature is to rebel against God. But God, in all of His love, He sent His Son in the world to pay for that sin that our forefathers committed in the garden. Jesus' last moment on earth. Now, there was over 450 people saw this happen. And there were a lot of questions about restoring the kingdom. Do you know what, folks? A lot of those Jewish people, they thought Jesus was going to set up an earthly kingdom like Queen of England or the King of England. But He didn't do that. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. That includes everybody in this world, and especially everybody listening to this broadcast tonight. The call was to be witnesses for Christ. Friends, this is where the problem lies. We don't witness. We don't try to introduce souls to Christ. We just, now we're going to heaven. Everything's all set. Our name's written in the Lamb Book of Life. At the end of eternity, we have a mansion waiting for us. But that's not what we're here for. We're here to tell people about Jesus. The greatest story you can ever tell is the story of your life. That's what people want to know. Well, what brought you to Jesus? That is why, beloved, the Apostle Paul, no matter where he went, he always told people how he met Jesus. And that's exactly what I do every day I go into prison. I tell those men and I tell those women. Not so terribly long ago, I was preaching in a boys' boot camp. There was hundreds of them in there. And boy, that's not a place that you want to send your son or daughter. It's a terrible place. But anyway, I only had 10 minutes to speak, and I told those men how I met Jesus in 10 minutes. And that day, 50 of those young boys who were headed down the wrong road came to Jesus and put their trust in him. Friends, that's what we're here for. Ascending from the Mount of Olives to heaven. Now, that's where he was headed. And today, Jesus is standing at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and for me. Whenever you do something wrong, the Jesus intercedes. Well, it's under the blood. It's under the blood. Oh, friends, that blood, that's royal blood. And to think it can wash away every rotten sin, every rotten deed we have ever committed. Don't that make you excited? To know that he'll wipe the slate clean. I remember when I was in the first grade out in Columbia School, out of the Dalles. It was about 15 miles out of town. Little old one-horse school. And there's about 15 or 20 or 30 of us in that school. And I remember when the teacher would get done, she'd write the lesson on the board, and then she'd erase it. All those things. And he was going to erase all of your sins when you are ready to turn from your sin and turn to Jesus. Boy, howdy, I remember the morning I was saved. Oh, what a relief. My stars, I'd been crying for about 2 hours. I mean crying. Why? Because my wife decided she couldn't take any more of my alcoholism lies and decided to take my four children and go to Portland and go to work, and she could support herself. She was a pastry chef and she was a cook. But you know, I felt that I'd come to the end of the road. I felt there was no other way to turn. But when this preacher started talking to me, I thought the first thing he was going to tell me is about the evils of alcohol. He did not. He told me of the love of God. And when he said this, "For God so loved Cecil Moe that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life," it's just like God said, "Cecil, this is truth." And I got on my knees and I told Jesus I was so sorry for my rotten sins and my rotten life, my wasted life. And I said, "Lord, here's my heart, here's my soul." And you know what, friends? That morning, this may be a surprise to some of you, that morning I knew that if I didn't accept Jesus, that was my last chance. My next place would be hell. And I believe there was a burning hell at the end of a crisis eternity. Now the disciples were standing with eyes heavenward, scanning the sky for a last look at Jesus. Now there was two angels of the Lord in white apparel, and they said, "Why stand ye gazing into heaven?" Well, and you know what they meant by that? Because Jesus is coming back. He's going to come back. Are you ready for that day? That's the most important question that'll be asked of you. Are you ready for that day? He said they must stop gazing and obey the Lord. Verse 4. And gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, "You heard of You've heard it from me. Now listen. He said, you must tarry there in Jerusalem. They are not now in Jerusalem, but they will be. They must leave where they are and go straight to Jerusalem. You know, friends, when we obey the Lord, we're going to be blessed. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. After the Lord, he told them, don't eat of that fruit. The serpent came down and tempted Eve and said, oh, that God really lied to you. You know if you eat of that fruit, you'll be as wise as God. Well, see, she doubted God and believed the devil. And that's what a lot of you are doing tonight. You believe the devil rather than believe God. Well, when they arrive, there great things will happen. Some need to find the will of God for their lives. Friends, I've said this a million times. There's absolutely nothing any more exciting than to find the will of God for your life. I told you after I was saved, I thought I died and went to heaven. Those people in that church accepted me, though I was a town drunk. They accepted my family. They loved us. They prayed for us. They invited us to their home for dinner. I never had that kind of friends before. Never, never, never. Well, you see, I thought that that was life. All I was to do was to go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night prayer meeting, and some other special meetings. That's what my life consisted of. But I was wrong. I was dead wrong. God had a call on my life. I did not know what it was. It took me a year to find out what it was all about. But when I was on that roof in Seattle and God called me to preach, I told him I would, even though I didn't know how, where, or why. I didn't get to go to seminary. I went to Bible college, and I did the best I could. But every time I had an opportunity to share my testimony, I've done that. I still do. I'm not proud of my rotten life. Oh, no, I'm not. And I'm not proud of the sin that I did. But I am thankful that Jesus was standing with outstretched arms that morning in Seattle 52 years ago, saying, come unto me, Cecil, all you labor and then heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Well, you know the rest. Now, he said, when the disciples obey the first directions, others will come. That's the way it is. And they must stop gazing and get going. They must stop gazing and go to a very important prayer meeting, verse 14. Then these all with one in mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer along with the women and Mary and Mother Jesus and with his brothers. Well, they went to Jerusalem like he told them to do. Then they went to the upper room, verse 13. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, that is, Peter and John and James, Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. Boy, that must have been a meeting. Some of these great men. Hey, listen, friends, let me ask you a question. Have you ever saw a preacher or a Christian that you admired and you wanted to, you'd just give anything to visit with him and just sit down and have a chat with him? Well, that happened to me a few years ago. Dr. Vance Havner, Billy Graham said, was the greatest preacher God ever put on this earth. Well, I had heard Vance Havner preach many times on the radio, and the man that wrote the story of my life, Go Mo Go, also wrote the story of Dr. Vance Havner, Journey to Jugtown. And I want you to know this man, millions of people have been saved under his ministry just like they were in Billy Graham. But I wanted to meet with that guy and want to talk to him. Well, Dr. White, again, the man that wrote the story of his life and my life, said, well, hey, Vance is here preaching a revival in Roanoke. I'll get a hold of him. Let's go and spend the afternoon with him in his motel. Well, we did. I'm telling you, I was awestricken. What a man. What a tremendous man. We went to lunch, and he had two or three different ice creams on his salad. or on his thing. He said, boy, I hope I don't get sick. And I said, why? He said, because I won't know what made me sick, which one of the ice creams made him sick. But anyway, I spent the day, a half a day with him, and I really felt I'd been the presence of one's God's great, great messengers. He just went to be with the Lord a few years ago, but my stars, what a man. You know what he used to do? He used to read his sermons, and he'd be going along all of a sudden. He'd pull his glasses down on his nose, and he'd say, the reason you people are so dog tired is because you've been a growling all day. He had some of the greatest sayings. In fact, I got a book here of his sayings, and I tell you, they were tremendous. Well, now, they're all in that meeting there, that prayer meeting. They put away all their differences. Oh, beloved, listen to me. If we would put all of our differences away in our churches, there would be the greatest thing in the world. God could use us, but no, there's always fussing and feuding and complaining. And then, and of course, the devil uses that. Well, they waited for the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:1-4. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house before they were sitting where they were sitting. And they appeared to them tongues of fire, distributing to themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit had given them utterance. You know, friends, you can't duplicate that. You can't duplicate Pentecost. They all tried. I know a lot of people who try to. No, there is no way. When a person is born again, blood bought, the Bible said the Holy Spirit enters into their heart. Now, some of these people say, no, that's not the way it happens. You've got to agonize, and you've got to do that. It's not true. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in your heart tonight, you're lost as a goose in the grass. You certainly are. You have to receive the Holy Spirit the day, the hour that you're born again. Well, they waited for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, they must stop gazing and start fulfilling the Great Commission. Verse 8. And how is it that we each hear them in their own language to which we were born? You know what? In the day of Pentecost, when they were preaching, there was, oh my stars, several dialects there. And did you know they all heard it in their own tongue? Now that's Pentecost. That is right. Now one man spoke, and all different nationalities understood. That's Pentecost. Well, they were all to be witnesses, and so are we. They must launch a great evangelistic outreach. Oh, listen, evangelism is the missing word in the church today. We must return to the greatest task on earth, the evangelism explosion in Jerusalem. Did you know when old Peter preached his first sermon, 3,000 precious souls were saved? Evangelism continues throughout the book of Acts. Well, what are we going to do to evangelize the world? And I read in Matthew 28, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Friends, this is what's wrong with our churches throughout the world today. Pastors are not teaching people how to witness and how to do personal evangelism. That is one of their most, you know what, that's more important than his preaching. To teach people to go out. One of the great men, I don't know who it was, I can't remember his name, but he was in China. And he had led thousands and thousands of people to Christ. When he came back to America, they said, well, what's your only regret? He said, the only regret that I have that I didn't teach. Did not teach those local people how to be soul winners and evangelists. He was, but he didn't teach them. And that's where he failed. You know, this pastor, this evangelist, that I helped support and have for a long time. I've known him for many years. I preached in his church when he was pastoring. He goes to Africa. He goes to Cuba. He goes to Russia. He goes to, I don't know where all he goes. But you know what he does down in Africa? He takes a bunch of doctors with him, a bunch of nurses, and a bunch of medicine, and they go down there, and they help those people, and they preach the gospel, and they win souls. That's why I support the man. His name is Evangelist Rick Vai. If you have time, pray for him. Oh, he is one of the most wonderful, loving pastors and evangelists I have ever met. Well, they must stop gazing and live in the light of Christ's return. Verse 11. And they also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him in going into heaven. Well, this same Jesus will return. The one who cared for the lost and dying, the one who wept over hurting people, the one who died and rose again. When he returns, we must stand before him. When he returns, we must give an account of our stewardship. Not time for gazing, the time is short. Listen, he said, why stand ye gazing? Get on the move, seizing the moment to serve our coming Lord. We have no business living ordinary lives in such an extraordinary time. That's what Vance Havner said. That's what he said. We have no business living ordinary lives in such extraordinary times. When you stop gazing, what will you do? Well, friends, I'm asking you, where do you stand? And now you say, Cecil, I've been a Christian for a long time. I've been born again for 30, 40, 50 years. You know what? It's still not too late to get busy. That's right. It's not too late for you to get busy. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, I mean just this. Let's suppose tonight God's Holy Spirit has said, Bill or Jim or Mary or Harry or whoever, listen to me. I've got a job for you, and you are the only one that can do that job. Would you do it if I sent you? Now, what are you going to say, yay or nay? Father in heaven, I pray for that person or those persons listening to the broadcast tonight who have lived lives, just ordinary lives, and have not done anything for you. Tonight, I know that your Holy Spirit has spoken, and I know that you're going to tug at hearts. And I pray, Lord, that many will say, yes, Lord, here am I, send me. Oh, God, we know that you're coming back soon, and we want to prepare people for that hour and that time. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you're lost tonight and you don't know Jesus, would you like to trust him? You say, I feel a tugging at my heart, Cecil. Well, here's a prayer I want you to pray, but don't pray unless you mean it. And here's how it goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm so sorry for my wasted life. I'm so sorry for what I've done to you. Tonight, Lord, I'm opening my heart and asking you to come in to be my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to get on the phone, and I want you to call 303-471-8534. 303-471-8534. Oh, friend, I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for money. I don't do that. And I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Now, he is standing out with outstretched arm right now, if you're not saved, saying, come to me. I'll give you a new life. Oh, I'm so glad he saved my soul. I know I'd be in hell tonight if it wasn't for Jesus. And the thing is, friends, he really loves you. You know, you say all Christianity is just do's and don'ts. No, it's not. See, everything God asks us to do, it's for our betterment. That's right. Sometimes we get sick. That's for his glory. But I know there's a lot of people say, oh, you can't be sick if you're a Christian. Well, that's a bunch of nonsense. Paul, he was sick. And Paul begged for God to take away that hurt, but he said, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. Well, anyway, friend, if you'd like to get a hold of me, call 303-471-8534. No, I won't use your name on the air. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I am concerned where you spend eternity. I'm waiting for your call. For the past half an hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I do want to thank you, friends, for listening. I ask you, be sure and pray for us next week when we go to the prison for 3 services. Pray God will give us precious souls for our hire. Pray for our health, that we'll be able to have the strength to go and do the things that He wants us to do. Friends, try to witness to somebody today. Try to give someone a big smile. Let them know that you got something that's real. Jesus is real. Well, listen, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.